Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are efforting Darren McFarland, having some technical difficulties trying to work through. So we'll get to Darren as quickly as possible. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Will from Nashville texting in to Joe Rexroad. Were there any Titans fans in the building at SoFi Stadium?
Yes. Actually, pretty impressive turnout. And do I have any idea the percentage? No. But You could hear them when the Titans made plays, and there were definitely a lot of people in Titans gear walking around outside the stadium before the game. So, yeah, I was impressed with the Titans turnout. And the stadium's amazing. It lives up to the hype. It was, boy, there were a few moments, like some third downs, made some noise, and the handful of offensive plays the Rams made, they – clap for that, but it was not what I would call an imposing atmosphere.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How could we not be doing – everybody be doing great, other than Joe, who's got a long trip back and – hasn't any sleep, but you know, other than that, everybody should be doing great.
Rexroad, I think you deserve some credit today. You've been an absolute champion so far.
I'm speaking at full volume now too. Like, if I don't care, I don't care if my neighbors, you know, or I'm, you know, what? It's 7 a.m. man. It's 7 a.m. on a Monday. Get the hell up. I know we're in L.A. and you hippies want to just go lie around the beach all day, whatever. No. Time to get to work.
That's right. We're all about hard work here on the show. So Darren, let's start there. Obviously, we've been kind of batting this idea around today, and you've watched the Titans football since day one. In the regular season alone, so taking out any playoff stretches this team has had, trying to figure out when the last time the Titans had a run that's been this impressive, taking out four playoff teams from last year in a row. And my mind is wandering back at least to 2008 when they started 10-0. And that, some people tell me it's the best stretch they've ever seen. Some people go back to the 99-2000 year. How would you answer this question? How impressed have you been about what the Titans have been able to accomplish here, specifically in the last four games?
Well, I think it's really impossible to try to come up with something that's been more impressive than this. I mean, I think I saw a stat this morning, and you tell me if you guys have seen it, because I don't have exactly who it was, but I think
it's Ed Werder. Yeah.
Was it Ed Werder? Only the fourth team to ever knock off four playoff teams in a row. And the other three that did it, two of them won the Super Bowl, the other one lost in the Super Bowl. Is that the stat you guys have seen?
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, the answer, Robbie, is they're, you know, I've seen some impressive Titans teams over the years. I saw that 08 team. I remember that team well. I remember how it started off against Jacksonville. Vince Young goes down for the whole incident. Kerry Collins takes over. I went to that game in Cincinnati in week two with 60-mile-per-hour winds. It was ridiculously windy. You could not throw the ball. the NFL quarterbacks look like us throwing the ball on that day. I mean, you basically had to adjust and throw the ball 2 yards to the left to make sure when it curved all the way to the right, you would hit the receiver. I mean, it was insane. That team was good. Didn't have a stretch like this. They just didn't have a murderer's row like this. I mean, this is honestly the most impressive. And, oh, by the way, to boot, you know, and for people that want to bring up, but they lost the Jets. Well, yeah, they also lost to Arizona. You know that team that's, you know, what are they, 7-1, 8-1, whatever their record is. They have one loss. I mean, that team that didn't have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins yesterday and went to San Francisco and ripped them apart with Colt McCoy, who's got to be close to my age. I mean, he's got to be at this point. So their schedule has been ridiculous. There's no way you can compare this to anybody else. We do our top 10 rankings every week in the NFL. It's fun to do because it changes so much from week to week in the NFL. And even the teams that I had above them, when you look at their schedule, it does not compare to the Titans' schedule. So I'll ask you, and I know this, I hesitate because I know it's going to come off like, look where we are, you're freaking Homer, like really? But you tell me, you look at everybody's schedule, and you go up and up, you tell me how, if you were ranking the teams today, right now, how you don't have the Titans number one.
Well, that's
give
a great
me the reason why.
That's a great point.
You don't have them number one.
Well, and especially in the AFC, right? I mean, the argument for the last few weeks has been, well, you know, the Bills, they still look like the best overall team. I'm sorry, you can't go to Jacksonville and lose 9-6 and me have you still number one. Just not going to happen.
I had Buffalo 8 last week in my rankings. So people are like, what? How could you put the Bills 8? I'm like, because I watch them every week and they're not that impressive. They're paper champions right now. They've got a great team on paper, but I watched them sleepwalk for 3 quarters against Miami. I think I brought that up with you guys last week. They finally woke up. Maybe they went in and had some coffee quickly after the 3rd quarter ended, and they woke up, and they beat a bad Dolphins team. But I've watched them. They're not that impressive right now. And maybe they'll get things turned around. I'm sure they will. They're still a good team. But people are like, how could you have Buffalo 8? This is before the Jacksonville game. So, yeah, you know, staking the claim that the Titans are the best team in the AFC is the no-brainer of the century right now. I'm talking about compare them to the rest of the league. Put the Rams and Dallas and Green Bay and Arizona and Tampa and all the other teams you identify as the best teams in the NFC. Give them the Titans schedule. Do they have the same record? Do they do the same thing?
It's a great question.
I don't know.
I agree, except I will be the Debbie Downer. I mean, if you're ranking teams, you're also ranking what they are currently. And the Titans have played one game without Derrick Henry, and all credit for what they did last night. The defense was incredible. It finishes this stretch. I agree. I mean, that's got to be one of the best stretches. I mean, you don't usually have an opportunity to have a stretch like that, right? Like usually there's a stinker somewhere in your schedule, so you wouldn't play 4 teams like that in a row. But the answer to your question, Darren, is, well, I'd hesitate just because they don't have 22. And I still want to see, you know, what the offense looks like on a weekly basis without him. And last night, I didn't have a good feel. I mean, especially because they were banged up on the offensive line.
Well, I will say this, Joe, to your point, which is more than fair. It's just the truth. And I feel the same way. But these rankings are week to week. It's not projections. Even though Willie tries to plug, he's like, I want to project. And I'm like, that's not what we're doing here. We're ranking them, their body of work today. What are you ranking them? We're not projecting out. That's why we do this every week, because we look back and you see the movement. It's unbelievable to see the movement of teams in and out of your top 10 or from the top of the pack to the bottom of the pack. It's about right now. And, yes, we talked about this last week. In fact, I think the three of us said the same thing. Like, this Derrick Henry injury isn't about making the playoffs. It's not even about winning the division. Like, that's going to happen. It's probably going to happen. Now it's definitely going to happen. Remember, this was last week.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to happen now. Like, they're going to win the division, and they're going to be a playoff team. But we were talking about, okay, but what does it mean in postseason? How far can they still make the magical run without 22? But going back to what you said before, I was literally saying today, how could you, you know, is it not fair to say you could rank the Titans number one
if you just look at their schedule and their body of work today, as the best team in the NFL?
Absolutely. Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Darren, switching gears to the Predators, they're in the midst of a grinding road trip right now. You've gone out to Western Canada. You come back to Chicago last night. They'll be taking on Dallas and St. Louis in the Central Division later this week. They've gotten 5 points so far on this trip of a possible 8. So, pretty good start to this road trip. What stood out to you about the way the Predators have played so far on this road trip?
Well, I think, Robbie, you have to start with the power play, right? Yep. I mean, we have talked so much about the power play for all the wrong reasons the last several years of why it's so bad. Why isn't it working? Why don't they shoot? Why can't they score? Why don't they take advantage of the man advantage, right? It's always been the woes of the power play. I mean, was it not? I mean, we're not too far removed from literally the fan base when the Predators get a call in their favor, people are like, wave it off. Don't even want the power play. Like, we all can laugh about that now, right? But that literally happened. I mean, I know I talked to enough fans who are like, I don't even want them to go on the power play. And here we are talking about a team that went into last night's game, the third best power play unit in the league at almost a 29% success rate. The power play is working, and I think that's where you have to start. I like the two units that they're putting out there. I like the structure of that power play. It's different. I like what they're doing, kind of like Josi at the point, Granlund working behind the net. You got Forsberg when he's in the lineup off to the side on the wing. Same with Tolvanen, Johansson in the middle, right? I like that structure. I like their movement, and it's been successful. By the way, is it not just sickening when you see Edmonton as the number one power play unit? I haven't looked at the latest. Last time I looked, I think it was like at 48%. The difference between 1 and 3 was 20%.
It's ridiculous.
Wow, that is mind blowing. But still, to me, that's where I would start. You know, the play of Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson. You know, I said it last night in pregame. It's not like those guys haven't heard it all offseason. They know what everything has been said, what's been written. They know what the narrative was on them in the offseason. They weren't protected. You know, people were saying, it's just got to be better. And you know what? To their credit, I mean, Matt Duchene, I said this last night, and I've been saying it on this road trip, he just looks like a different player. He's certainly beaming with confidence. It shows. He leads the team with goals with 5. He's shooting the puck. That tells me he's confident. Ryan Johansson's doing the same thing. I just think that is probably the other part of this. I mean, the play of Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, right? We all said it. Like, they're going to have to produce. Or this team, you just can't talk about this team getting the playoffs if they don't produce. Like, you know, Jeannot's story and Trennan being better and Sissons, like that line, like that's a great story. That's great to talk about. And they've been fantastic. But that line's not going to lead you to the playoffs. Like, that can't be your productive line that makes you a playoff team. Like, you have to have help from the top. And now they're getting that. I like what I've seen. We'll see what they can do against Dallas and St. Louis on Wednesday and Thursday night to wrap up this road trip. But so far, so good. After a slow start, 1-4, they've really turned things around. And by the way, UC Saros. I mean, doesn't it kind of go without saying? I brought up this analogy over the weekend. I wonder if the rest of the hockey markets are not envious or they're starting to hate on the Predators like I've done with, like, Indianapolis and Green Bay and the NFL. Like, you can't – it's not fair. You don't get to go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. Like, you don't get to go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's just not fair to everybody else, right? When everybody's looking for that franchise quarterback, everybody's looking for the franchise goaltender. And I wonder if the rest of the league's going, like, it's just not fair, Nashville. Like, really? Like, you get to go from Pecorine to UC Saros? Like, really? Like, UC Saros has just been out of his mind. Out of his mind good.
Oh, yeah. He's been great. By the way, that Edmonton power play, now at 50%. So, there you go.
Just let that sink in. Half the time they have the man advantage, they're scoring. I mean, 50%.
Wow. Well, when you have a guy who can make NHL players look like 11-year-old children on the ice, you know, that kind of helps, right?
Bending time and space out there.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
That McDavid guy and Draisaitl, they're pretty good if you watch them.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network, has been our guest, joins us every Monday at 9 o'clock. Darren, great stuff as always. Looking forward to the show coming up at 10 o'clock.
All right, gents. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you. Darren McFarland joins us every Monday at 9 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react to a little bit of what Darren had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. JD texting in, who did you think was the best addition to the running game yesterday? I thought Foreman was the best fit and contributed most of the new acquisitions. Peterson will be fine, I think, but he was running too high yesterday for my liking. Once he settles in and gets used to his contract or gets used to contact, I think he will be fine. What did you think of the running game yesterday, Joe Rexroad? Do you agree that Foreman looked the best of the three?
Well, yeah, he certainly had the most success. Because McNichols had the 114-yarder around edge, but then he had 6 for 10 otherwise. And again, in some of these instances, I mean, you know, there wasn't much room. And I thought that was mostly the case with Adrian Peterson. He looked a little bit unsure, I thought, a few times, not quite decisive enough in picking a lane or just trying to, power through, maybe thinking too much or whatever. But Foreman had a couple runs, I thought, where, boy, you could see where he gets going downhill. And he at least brings that part of the Derrick Henry equation. He's not going to bring the home run, part of it, where if you let him get out of there, you might be just waving bye-bye. But he's the most obviously comparable of the three when it comes to just being able to fall forward and get yards. I liked what I saw from him, and I think it's worth exploring giving him more work.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I mean, Corey Curtis, talked about the power that he brings to the table. I mean, he was a slip away last night from maybe breaking a big one. I mean, he cut through and looked like he had an opening there and slipped and fell on the play. Otherwise, Foreman may have had a bigger night last night than he ended up having. He's a guy that, sometimes I look at him and I watch how hard he runs, and I think to myself, well, okay, how was he not on anybody's roster? Like, look,
I agree.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not, nobody's going to confuse Deontay Foreman for Derrick Henry, but he's an NFL running back. He's a pretty good player.
Like, I understand Adrian Peterson being out of the league. He's 36, and it's at the end here. He's trying to stay in the league. I don't get the thing with Foreman, and I thought the same thing last year. I was like, that dude is just, you can just pick that guy up. I mean, he's not good. He's not good enough to be someone's two or three in this league. I don't understand that. There's like something missing there, some missing piece of information. Because I agree, every time in the last couple of years when he's run the ball, I've said, yeah, that's a guy who people don't enjoy tackling.
Shane from Ashland City texting in, I just want to know where this defense has been and why did the best running back last night touch the ball the least? So I guess he's referring to Foreman. There you go. A lot of love for Foreman.
Yeah, again,
people are going to be walking around in Deontay Foreman jerseys by the time Sunday comes around.
Those 45s all the way around. Yeah, it's 5 carries for 29 yards. But I thought he had some really impressive, power running in there. So is he a guy who, could flourish with a bigger workload? I mean, I think it's also a little early to move on from Adrian Peterson in that way. I mean, I still think that I feel like he is in the type of shape and is still fast enough right now that he could be effective. And obviously the guy knows how to run the football. He didn't have a great night. I mean, I think it's just, you got to keep an open mind on that. I do think it'll be those two with McNichols probably more in his role, as long as one or both of those two play well. As far as the defense, I mean, this stretch has been, you think about the defense, even against Jacksonville in that win, it was, it just too many loose plays, and actually didn't stop the run well in that game. It hasn't been perfect in this four game stretch, but even in the games where Titans are giving up plays and big yardage and stuff, they are making huge plays.
Making huge plays. I think it's also important to remember on the Adrian Peterson front, number one, maybe getting some, you know, actual practice time with some pads on this week would be a good step. And also, you know, the front that they went up against last night, you got the Saints coming up this weekend who have a pretty good front in their own right. Yeah. After that, there's some games that on the table, at least on paper, especially if you get your offensive line healthier, there should be some running lanes that get created as they move forward.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's just, I mean, you want to be able to run for about 100 yards, you know, in a game. I mean, they were at 69 last night. Certainly last night was a lot of, I mean, there was a lot of clock game. Once they got a two touchdown, then you get that one really good drive, you get to 21-3. And I mean, it's a clock game. I mean, again, we're talking 26 carries, 69 yards, 2.7 per carry. That's, you want better production than that. But it got the job done. You can still run play action off that. And if the offensive line, as you said, as we've been talking about a lot on this show, gets it together, then I think this offense can still be good.
Well, and the Ryan Tannehill bootleg just continues to be unstoppable. So if anything else, you just break out that Tannehill bootleg or that RPO and just let him go.
Yeah, shout out to Teron Davenport. Shout out to TD on that one. Before even the timeout, he's like, right here, you boot him to the field side, and it's, you know, it's a walk-in, and that's exactly what they did.
It was funny to watch that replay because Aaron Donald actually did a pretty good job of reading the boot, and I don't know that he would have caught up with Tannehill, but it would have been close, and Leonard Floyd absolutely wrecked his own teammate on that play, and Tannehill could have done like a somersault into the end zone.
Yeah, I think Tannehill would have still gotten there, but he would have had to push it, and knowing that it's Aaron Donald on his tail. So that would have been a more interesting play, but I think he would have gotten there.
Brian in Portland texting in, I think it's all about riding the hot hand. They definitely could have given Foreman some more carries at the beginning of the game, but I think you split it between the three running backs until you figure out who is more likely to have the best game. More of the running back by committee approach, and I'm interested to see if that's the Titans' way of handling things. I think it more or less will be as they move forward here. Like, I still don't anticipate a scenario where, like, Deontay Foreman or Adrian Peterson, barring injury, one of those guys is having, like, 25 carries. Like, I don't see that happening.
I wouldn't think so either, but as any running back will tell you, like, you have to get a certain number to get into a rhythm, and you're better that way. And look, I mean, for all of Derrick Henry's kind of ups and downs trying to figure it out, once he started getting all those carries, you know, I think that there was a correlation between that and him having the confidence and, you know, getting on a roll. So I think it would be good for like one of those two guys to have like 15, you know, something like that in a game. And if someone does get to that number, it means they probably earned their way to that number. But I could see either guy at this point, you know, getting, you know, emerging as more the number one back. I mean, it's you got to keep an open mind and see how it goes. I think McNichols probably does less carrying of the ball and stays in his role. But I mean, he does have the speed to get to the edge. That is a nice change up from, you know, especially from Foreman.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Also get to the Taylor Lewan discussion as well. Active for the game last night, but obviously was not on the field. What does that mean for him and for the Titans as they move forward? We'll get to that coming up next. The Nashville Predators will honor recently retired goaltender Pekka Rinne by hanging his number 35 in the Bridgestone Arena rafters coming up on February 24th of 2022. And in honor of the night, the team announced a 35 Pekka plan. This ticket plan allows fans to attend either three or five games during the 2021-22 season, including the February 24th game against the Dallas Stars, while also seeing a donation made to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily at Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. The 35 Pekka plan is the best way to get tickets to this historic event, and all fans in attendance will receive a replica Pekka Rinne jersey retirement banner. For more info, visit NashvillePredators.com/Pekka plan to get your pack today. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Trevor, Rex Road, a lot of people on the text line want to know, what is going on with Taylor Lewan? He pops up on the injury report late last week with a knee. Is active for the game last night, does not get in the game last night. No snaps for Taylor Lewan for the Titans against the Rams. And Vrabel saying after the game, used maybe more in an emergency situation if they absolutely had to have him. But Taylor Lewan not on the field, and obviously his presence, I think, missed at the left tackle position last night with Bobby Hart being in there. How concerned are you at this point about Taylor Lewan and the injuries that he's had to battle through this year?
Well, I mean, I think it's a good sign that he suited up, was active, went through warmups. So, I mean, it's not like he's on the shelf. It seems like a precautionary thing, a little bit of a whatever, a tweak. Just like A.J. Brown also had a knee tweak on Friday, was added to the report. I thought he looked fine running around. So, at this point, and we'll see this week, it would seem to me, given what we saw yesterday, that he would probably be back pretty quickly. You got to keep in mind, I mean, someone coming off a surgery, you know, an ACL repair, you know, the one game he missed in Seattle, that ended up being just a scare, and there really wasn't anything to it. But there's a lot of this is also like the mental aspect of being confident and all that. And it's interesting because, as Corey Curtis mentioned earlier, I mean, Lewan to me looked like vintage Taylor Lewan in that game in Indy, and then this. So is this a totally new thing? I mean, I would always assume with a knee, with someone like this in their first year back from an ACL, that usually it's related to that. But he's one to watch this week, and of course David Long Jr. As well. But they badly need Taylor Lewan. I mean, the idea that anyone would argue otherwise. You can argue about next year, whether they should cut him and save the money and move on. That's totally different. But this year, this team badly needs Taylor Lewan.
They need him. I don't have much confidence they're just going to have him down the stretch. I mean, at this point, with the injuries that have piled up this year from the knee to the concussion, this is now the second game that Taylor Lewan has been active, and then all of a sudden you got to shut him down for precautionary reasons or whatever. Like, I just don't have a lot of confidence at this point that Taylor Lewan all of a sudden is going to get healthy and stay healthy coming down the stretch. I mean, we've not seen it at this point this year. I agree with you. I thought he was awesome against Indianapolis. I mean, Taylor Lewan played really well, but it's difficult for me to have confidence he's going to be healthy coming down the stretch. And honestly, you know, we've talked a lot about the decisions the Titans are going to have to make coming up next year, and we'll have a lot more time once the offseason gets here to really dive into this. But if this is what it's going to be for Taylor Lewan the rest of the year, I got a hard time envisioning him coming back next year. I think that's going to be a really tough call for John Robinson.
Yeah, it will be. He's got a few of those, but I agree. It's a big number, and you're talking about eight figures in savings. You know, if you move on, the dead money goes way down. So it's on the table to do it. I hear what you're saying. I think that's going to be one of the stories of the rest of the season is, like, Lewan, is Bud Dupree going to stay out there? Is Julio Jones going to stay out there? These are big, especially now. Your margin for error has gone down. There's just no doubt about it when you don't have 22. So these guys need to stay healthy. I guess to me, I could be a bit more optimistic, again, based on how he played last week and based on the fact that he was, you know, I thought he, I mean, I wasn't closely watching him in warmups because I had no idea this was coming, that he was going to sit out. You know, we were all in the press. I was like, oh, Luan is not playing. That's interesting. But, I mean, he went through warmups as normal. So maybe this is just let's be careful and everything will be fine next week. I don't know. That's going to be one of the stories. I mean, he's got to be on that short list of most important guys to be able to stay healthy this year. You know, Kendall Lamb was out, was hurt.
Yep.
He can come in, and he has been fine when he's been in there, but it's still a big difference.
Logan texting in, maybe they didn't want Taylor to get exposed, LOL. Maybe that's what it was. Just putting him down there. Says, you know what? Just leave this one to Bobby Hart, Taylor.
Yeah, that must be it, yeah. If that's the case, I guess you just cut him now and, you know, take, you know, bite the bullet, eat the money.
Liam texting in, putting aside injuries to superstars, is depth in the NFL that's the best it's ever been, or the Titans kind of an exception? There just doesn't seem to be a huge drop-off with our guys. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
Well, I think that's a great observation, and I think this is where – look, ultimately a general manager is judged by the performance of the team.
Yep.
So by that measure, you know, John Robinson's been very successful here. More that is made of especially early round picks than anything else in what a GM does. And we know how that's gone recently. But I think probably enough isn't made of their ability to find some of these depth players who have been able to come in and give them quality play. That's a huge, you know, you're scouting basically every player in the league to try to be prepared for these things. I mean, you know, his staff and they watch film like everyone to be ready because these situations happen all the time. And again, even just to, I know they had Maven here before, but you go get him and he comes in and gives you a really good game. You go get Hart, who gives you a game, and even finding guys that they found, like obviously like the Firksers, the Raymonds, the Batsons, guys like that. I mean, Aaron Brewer is their depth guys have been largely good. Not everyone, but think of where they would be if they didn't have some of these guys coming in, or even like a guy like Chris Jackson, who's a seventh round pick and plays such a great game last night. So it's probably not enough made of it. There's probably not enough made of it. And it's a huge part of that job.
Yeah. Huge part of the job. And right now, I mean, Chris Jackson was awesome last night. I mean, I don't think we've talked enough about David Long Jr. I mean, another game last night where he was just awesome. And again, hopefully he's healthy and that it's not a big injury as we get through this week. We'll find out more maybe today, but probably more likely on Wednesday when the injury report comes out. I doubt very seriously Vrabel's going to spend a lot of time talking about David Long Jr.'s injury coming up today. But he's just been awesome so far. And yet again last night, whether it's on the blitz that he's generating pressure or making some plays in the backfield on the running game in coverage. I mean, he had an incredible pass breakup in the latter part of the game that I thought he's gonna pull it down. I thought he's gonna pick that off. He's just been awesome so far this year.
Yeah, and you're talking about a sixth round pick, you know, from 2019. I mean, you got a sixth rounder and a fifth rounder out there at inside linebacker last night. Both of them really good players. You know, I mean, obviously, Jayon Brown, I mean, big question for him and even like his next deal, wherever he's going to be, his health is going to be a big question because he's struggled to stay healthy. But when he is, he's a playmaker. And David Long is now a serious playmaker. Think about 2 years ago, he was a rookie. He had to go in there because Jayon Brown was hurt and he had to go in there in that Buffalo game and he did a great job. But you didn't know that was just such a special situation playing that Baltimore offense. But he has grown into a really good player. And again, like you get value like that for as rough as the last two drafts have been for the Titans, that 2019 draft is ridiculously good.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Riley and Antioch texting in. The secondary was awful early on, and now Allen, Mahomes, Stafford can't find an open receiver. What happened? Like a lot of us, the pass rush in front of you. But, I mean, I will say Caleb Farley goes down. You've not had Christian Fulton the past three, 4 weeks. And your secondary's held up pretty well. I mean, look, Jack Rabbit had his moments last night where he got beat and, you know, he fell down on the one big play that Robert Woods had. But, yep, you know, other than that, there's not really a whole lot to pick apart with this Titans secondary right now.
I mean, said earlier, like, they look connected. Obviously, you know, the Titans play a lot of zone. They play a lot of cover three. I mean, they mix things up. You play man in situations. But they just look connected, like they know exactly where they're supposed to go. They communicate well. Then you have someone like Byard who just has a feel for just, I'm going to go gamble and be totally out of position. And to me, that's the winning play of the game, is that pick six. So you have that, but I still think the number one answer is what you said right there off the top, Robbie, is it's pass rush. Man, you, again, put Deion Sanders across the board at all three corner spots and, you know, Troy Polamalu, you know, Ed Reed at the safety spots. And if quarterbacks have all day, they'll still give up plays, you know, and that, you have to have pass rush. And that's been to me the difference. By the way, I just mentioned the 2019. Let's review again 2019 draft based on last night's game.
Okay.
First round, Jeffrey Simmons. Second round, A.J. Brown. Third round, Nate Davis, who they didn't have. Fourth round, Amani Hooker, another guy we're not talking about enough about how he played last night. They had the one miss, DeAndre Walker in the fifth round, and then the sixth round, David Long. My gosh, what a draft.
Yeah, it's turning out to look pretty good for John Robinson and the Titans. Our buddy Hibbs texting in, do we think there's any correlation with having Jayon back last night to the performance overall for the defense? What do you think of that, Joe?
I think that's fair. Like, it's one of those things where he didn't make, like, a ton of plays, but I thought he was in the right spots. And there, as you know, with Long's improvement – as a coverage linebacker, I think they're really good at covering ground in the middle of the field, you know, in their zone looks. And those guys, like you just said, right, that drop that David Long had, you know, just knew exactly where to go, and he almost made an unbelievable play. And I think that's a big – that's always been a strength for Jayon Brown. He has a real feel for the game. He's good in coverage. So I do think that was a handy duo, and I think in most matchups, that's probably their best duo.
Well, and one thing that we talked about with Corey Curtis that I think bears repeating, the tackling last night was outstanding for the Titans. Yeah. And you know, obviously the Hooker play comes to mind when you tackle him just short of the sticks there. But I mean, it wasn't just Hooker. Everybody pretty much tackled very well last night. And if you can do that, you can limit the damage an offense can do.
Well, and you compare that to – like the Jets game, yeah, the Jags game, you know, those, it's such a big part of it. We always think about coverage and rush and things like that, but there are a lot of plays that if you tackle, whether they're 4 or 6 yard plays that turn into 20 yarders when you don't. It takes one guy. And last night they were unbelievable in that way. The Hooker to set up the fourth down where Bud Dupree got in Stafford. Say Stafford stumbled and twisted his ankle, and I mean, the play was there. If Stafford is clean in that pocket, that's an easy completion. And then, you know, the game is still a game from there. But the play before that, he gets through a little pick, Hooker does, and makes a physical tackle to make it fourth down. I mean, the play like that is just massive.
Do you think Mekhi Sargent had his new team or gave his new team bad information on purpose? This is coming from somebody on the text line. I think it was inside job by the Titans.
I think the Rams probably didn't spend enough hours, you know, picking Mekhi Sargent's brain on this Titans offense.
Apparently,
you know,
not.
I mean, they obviously tried to get all the intel, but they just didn't. They didn't do enough.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of those coming up next. Also, some breaking news on the NCAA front as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. That was a fired up Kevin Byard and Jeffrey Simmons last night with Michelle Tafoya on the Sunday Night Football crew there. Kevin Byard kind of impassioned there in his speech. Then he was in the zone last night, and hey, look, those power rankings don't matter. Only thing that matters is they're 7-2. He's right. Although I think the Titans may start to rise up in some of these power rankings as well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's how you look at it if you're doing it. Because, like, I've got to fill mine out. Well, I always wait till Tuesday just to see. Not that tonight's game is that consequential, but
I mean the Bears could move up a lot tonight.
But like based on achievement, like Darren was saying earlier, you know, based on achievement, who's achieved more? I don't think anybody. And that includes, now, of course, the Cardinals did come into Nashville and beat this team. So, but like they're right there at the top. Now, the question when you do power rankings or you assess this team or what are they, how good are they compared to the league, you still have to take into account that they are missing their best player. And in their first game with their best, without their best player, they had 194 total yards. I mean, you like that. That still happened. And I mean, game situation dictates some of that for sure. And injuries up front, huge part of that. That makes it hard for me to judge. But it also, like, I still think there's a little bit of a yield sign here on what this is going to look like moving forward.
Hater. Titans hater.
I know it. I expect some venom on the text line for that.
Joe's just cautious. Is that fair? Cautious, Joe.
Cautious, yes, maybe so. Cautious, Joe.
I've always been very careful.
Yes.
And, you know, very conservative and careful in my actions and words.
Joe, very quickly, some breaking news on the NCAA front, and this has come out. Thanks to our buddy Hibbs for pointing this out to us. This is coming out from Ralph Russo of AP Sports. Quote, the NCAA on Monday set the stage for a dramatic restructuring of college sports that will give each of its three divisions the power to govern itself. The nation's biggest and most influential governing body in college athletics released a draft of an 18.5-page constitution cut down from 43 pages over the last 3 months at the direction of President Mark Emmert, who, as we know, is just a fearless leader out there. The rewritten constitution focuses more on the NCAA's broader goals of the athlete welfare than the previous version, which took a more granular approach. Most important, it would provide Division I, the highest level of college sports that includes major college football, and the 351 schools eligible for the lucrative men's basketball tournament, the autonomy to reshape everything from how the revenue is shared to how the rules are made and enforced. Joe Rex showed your reaction to what seems like a power shift with the NCAA.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of this could be looked at as like basically they're making official that they've given up on some of their dumb. There's some of their dumb crap that they've tried to, enforce and continue and perpetuate over decades. So that's good. I mean, the ramifications are interesting though when you think about different governing bodies and what does rule enforcement look like? How much priority is even put into that? I mean, there's still there should still be rules. Like, you know, it should still be like, I've been huge on name, image, likeness. And it's also amazing that it's written out here, you know, it makes it official. Like they can here's it written in the actual. Yeah, exactly. But it's like it's still college sports. Like people should still like have to be in college to play, and stuff like that. But like, what does that look like moving forward and forth? It's already been so, without subpoena power, enforcement has already been so toothless, obviously. But then you have these random overreaches, like with Oklahoma State, So that will be interesting. And there's also this kind of go a little bit different, but you have people out there talking about like Power Five only in the NCAA basketball tournament, which to me would be absolutely disastrous. I couldn't hate that idea more.
Me too, Joe.
But, if you love college basketball, that has to be part of it. But there's a lot of different ideas that are going to be flying around with this.
Lots of different ideas, and going to be interesting to see how that part of it unfolds. We'll be able to react a little bit more and talk more about that tomorrow on the show. But in retrospect, big win for the Titans. Here they sit, 7-2, atop the AFC. And, Joe, I got to say, people keep down the Titans. I didn't give them much of a chance in this game. I said last night the Rams would win 28-17. So I almost nailed the score. Just got the teams wrong. 28-16 win for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, Michelle, rough weekend, is wearing the orange, but she did have the Titans as her lock.
I also said that Kevin Byard would have a winning interception, which I know it wasn't to win the game, but we could argue that pick six.
I might give you credit for that. I don't know.
Robbie's like, no, stop it, Joe.
Oh, come on. You already beat the,
Robbie, you won. I'm wearing the orange.
That's true. Come on, man.
That's true.
Cut a little slack on a Monday.
We'll see if Michelle's wearing Tennessee orange again tomorrow here on the show. I think maybe a change of heart has taken place. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Darren Donica Chase is up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.